Again, it's good to be here. Had a good, safe drive down, nice ride down this morning. Praise the Lord for that. We're going to be in the book of Genesis this morning. Genesis chapter 6. We looked at justification by faith this morning in Sunday school, and we're going to look at basically salvation by grace now this morning. But Genesis 6 and verses 5 through 8, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." And I want you to understand that this is the condition of mankind. Every single one was included in this statement. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for the clarity of it, Father. We thank you for how that it teaches us clearly about salvation. And Father, we pray today that you would give us all a clear understanding of what happened in our salvation. And Father, if there be any lost here today, that you would give them an understanding of what grace truly is, Lord. That you would save souls today, that you would work that grace into their hearts as only you can. And Father, we look to you, knowing that you are the one, that you are the giver of salvation. And Father, we just come to you looking for that today. And we pray that you'd bless your word, give us all the things that we need today. And we thank you for it once again in Jesus' name. Amen. So the thought that I want to look at this morning is how Noah found grace. It says Noah found grace. How was it that Noah found grace? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Many people, again, have a very wrong idea about why Noah was saved. You know, a lot of people have a lot of wrong ideas about a lot of things concerning God because they don't open their Bible and study the thing. And they don't open their Bible and see, what does this thing have to say? And so they're running around with all these, so-and-so told me this and so-and-so told me that. And they have all these ideas. Well, why don't you open your Bible up and read what the Bible has to say, and then you would know for yourself. You see, because we all are accountable to God for ourselves. And because grandpa and grandma went to church or mom and dad went to church, doesn't mean that you're going to slide in on their merit. You have to realize that you are responsible to God for yourself. And you need to open your Bible for yourself and find out what it has to say. And so, what does it mean that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Does that mean that Noah was a pretty good guy and he was a little better than the rest of them? And so God let him slide and he included him in grace for some way? Or what does grace mean? A lot of people have a really slanted idea of grace. That grace is God provides a way and he makes it possible, but then you have to do the rest. And so, there has to be something good in you. There has to be some kind of merit. There has to be some kind of power. There has to be some kind of strength. There must be something in you that brings about salvation. Well, that the Bible is clear that there isn't anything good in any one of us. There's nothing in us that would cause us to come to God on our own. It would cause us to seek Him out on our own. It is only by the grace of God that we find salvation. And so how did Noah find grace? We want to look at that today. But many people have a very wrong idea about why Noah was saved, thinking that Noah was saved because he was in some way better than the rest of mankind. And in essence, Noah was worthy of salvation. But the rest of the world was not. Yet the Bible is clear to point out that though all the world was worthy of death, including Noah, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So today we want to consider how Noah found grace in God's eyes. And so basically just two main ideas. One is how Noah could not have found grace and how Noah did find grace. And so the ways that Noah could not have found grace. Obviously, to find the answer to our question, we need to use the Bible. That's our starting place. That's why God gave us the Bible, so we can know what He would have of us and what is expected of us and what we are responsible for. We need to know this book. That's why He gave it. But Isaiah 28, and let's go there and look there just for a minute. Isaiah 28 and verses 9 and 10. It says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. That the word of God is woven, is like a tapestry woven with the truth of God. And throughout the word of God, it is woven together. And there's here a little and there a little. And many of the doctrines of God are established in the Old Testament. And they are further clarified as we go through and the farther we get into the New Testament, they come to light. And so those things all go together. And the Bible builds upon itself. Here a little and there a little. And so we need to study the Bible as a whole. You can't just grab a verse out of context and run with that thing. Because, you know, that's how many people get off. They say, well, here, you know, here's this verse and it says this, zoom. And they totally forget about what did the rest of the chapter say? What did the rest of the book say? What did the Bible say in agreement with that or not in agreement with that statement? And many times, all you've got to do is read the whole sentence. A lot of times, a verse is just a little, as a portion of a sentence. Read the whole sentence and you'll get the complete thought. You know, a few verses there. But that's what we have to do. If we're going to find out what the Bible, what God would have, we need to get into the Word of God. And it builds upon itself. And so, religious tradition, emotions, and what is pleasant to our way of thinking must be set aside for the truth of God's Word. You know, not everything in the Bible is palatable to our flesh. You know, a lot of things, you know, to hear that you're a dirty, rotten sinner, worthy of hell, isn't particularly a pleasant thing. You know, we like to hear you're pretty good, you did a good job, you're a good person. We like to get pat on the back. It's not very palatable, especially if you're lost. If you're lost today, the Bible is going to be just totally against your flesh. And you're like, oh, everything in there is, I feel condemned and I don't want to hear it. I just don't want to listen to it. And a lot of people just shut it out. I don't want to listen to the Word of God. I don't want to hear what that has to say. But we are going to have to set aside our way of thinking. You know what? And a lot of people don't like the grace of God. A lot of people don't like the word election. They don't like the fact that God chose a people before the foundation of the world to save in Jesus Christ. They don't like that. But they don't like it because they don't understand it. They don't understand it. They don't understand that outside of God's grace in Jesus Christ, they could never have been saved. They don't understand the depth of sin. They don't understand that in their fallen condition of sin, they were dead in trespasses and sins. Not just almost dead, not just pretty bad off, and they were still crawling along, making it. You know, all you got to do is just crawl your way to Jesus and you'll be okay. No, you're dead. You're in the grave. You're under the ground. You can't do anything. You're Lazarus in the tomb. And God comes along and says, get up. Come out. Come to salvation. And you are awakened to that. You are quickened to that. And you come. And you come joyfully. And you come gladly. And you come willingly. And you come prayerfully. And you come just as the Bible says, whosoever will. And you're ready to come. But it takes the working of God before you're going to come, before you're made ready, before you're alive. And so, grace, we've got to throw away our way of thinking. And we've got to throw away what we think is right. And we've got to throw it all out and say, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And if we're simply willing to know what the Bible says, God will teach us. He'll teach us what grace is and what it's all about. So, if we're willing to take the Bible as it is, not twisting its meaning to suit us, you know, one of the things people do with grace, you know, you read those scriptures in Romans 8, and they talk about having predestinated, you know, predestinated us, you know, and they think, well, God looked out into the future, you know, like God's a fortune teller. Oh, God looked out into the future and saw you doing something good. That's what they're saying. They're saying, well, God, as long as it's in the future, you can do good works and it's okay. No, good works will never save you. It's not about good works. It will never outweigh your bad. God never looked down in the future and saw you doing something good and said, aha, I choose him. No, that wouldn't be at all. That would just be God obligated to you. Well, I'm obligated because I know they're going to do good. I'm obligated to save them. God is not obligated to save any one of us because we're all guilty. We're all sinners and deserving of hell. And so that's not how it works. God understands what he is going to do in the future, and what he's going to do with his people in the future. And so he has, according to that plan, purposed their salvation in Christ ahead of time. He knows all about that. And so that is what it means that God, his foreknowledge and predestination and those things. So, but we can't twist it to make it suit us. And think, well, I don't think that's fair. I want to twist that. You can't twist the Word of God. Whether we think it's fair or not, it's the Word of God. And so that's what I mean. You've got to set aside your feelings and what you think is good and right. You got to throw that out, and you got to think, well, what does the Bible say? Because I know this is good, right? I know this is the truth. And so we need to do that. We've got to set aside our religious traditions. We've got to set aside all those things like that and say, what does the Bible say? And so, if we're willing to take the Bible as it is, we'll find that the Bible is consistent and that the doctrine once established will be reaffirmed in other places in the Bible. So, Noah found grace. And as we go through the Bible, we'll see, well, this is grace, and this is grace, and this is grace, and this is grace. And you turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and you say, wow, there's grace very clearly defined. Here's grace. And so that's what we're going to do today. So we're just going to look at how Noah found grace. So, first of all, how Noah could not have found grace. He was not better than those who died. And I'm afraid that it even sneaks into our minds sometimes as those of us that believe in the grace of God. I think it can sneak in there. Because we read that and it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then it talks about him being, you know, upright and walked before the Lord in the next few verses there. We think, well, he was a little better than everybody else. So that's why he found grace. Well, that's not grace. It's not grace at all. Grace is to sinners. Grace is to those that are unworthy, undeserving. He didn't deserve it. And so God in his grace saved Noah. And we need to have that in our heads. But Noah didn't find grace because he was better than those who died. Romans 3. Let's look there a minute. Romans 3 and verses 9 through 20 there. It says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. We're all in the same boat, you know, so to speak. There's not one of us that can say, well, I'm better. You know, I'm more religious. I do more good. I give to more charities. You know, I do more of these things in the community. And so therefore, I'm all set. No. It says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. Nope, not even Noah. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. So in our own flesh, in our own capacities, there is none that understandeth. Not one of us could have come to it in our own understanding. There is none that seeketh after God. None of us would have done so in our own flesh. Verse 12. They are gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. But we see this is the condition of all of us. We are all born with this sinful nature, and there isn't one of us that does good and that would come to God in our own strength, in our own flesh, in our own capacities. And so Noah, it wasn't because Noah was better than anybody else that Noah found grace. Noah didn't find grace by any capacity in or of himself. There was nothing in Noah. There was no power. There was nothing different, nothing special in Noah that made him more deserving, more able to find this grace. Nothing special in Noah. We need to get it in our heads. Noah was a recipient of grace. Everything special in Noah came from grace, and it came from God. And we need to understand that so well. It came from God. But John chapter 6, look there a minute. John 6 and verse 63. It says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. So everything that we have, everything that we own, every capacity that we have outside of Jesus is no profit to the things of God. There is no profit in the flesh, none whatsoever. And so we see this that Noah had the same flesh as you and I did. You know how I know that? Because we're all descendants of Noah. And I know that sin dwells in my flesh, and I know that sin dwells in our flesh. And you know what? We all came from Noah. Because Noah and his family were the only ones left. And so we are descendants of Noah. So guess where sin came from that we have today? And it came from Adam, and it came to Noah, and everybody else was wiped out but Noah. And guess what? Noah had sin, didn't he? And so that sin kept on going, and it's in us today. And so we know that Noah was a sinner, just like you and I. But it wasn't any capacity in and of himself, and it was the flesh. There is no profit in it. There was no strength in Noah. Nothing's different or special in him than everybody else. It was the grace of God, simply, that saved Noah. Noah didn't earn grace by being more good than bad. And that's the most common misconception and the lie of the devil is that you can outweigh your sin with more good than bad. I mean, That's the way people think. That's the way lost people think. They are self-justifying. They think, well, I'm not so bad. Well, yes, you are, according to the Word of God. But Romans 9, let's look there a minute. Romans 9 and verses 11 through 13. It says, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Why in the world does the Bible tell us this? It's communicating that salvation by grace isn't about any works. Nothing to do with works. That's why this is here. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. We're to get the fact that it isn't about good or evil. It wasn't about the works. That the purpose of God according to election, it's about God. It's about His choice. It's about His choosing. It's about His doing. It's about His work. That according to the to election might stand not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Why? Why? Because it was of God's choosing. It was of God's grace. It was of God's election. Nothing to do with works whatsoever. This was before they were ever born and did any works, this choice was made. And we are to clearly understand what grace is. It is purely of God. And nothing, no capacity in us, brings about grace. So he didn't find it in any capacity of himself. He didn't find it by being more good than bad. Noah didn't learn grace by the power of his own mind and understanding. I've come across people like that that think they can learn it. Somehow they're going to learn it with their mind. They trust in their mind. They're usually very intelligent. In the things of this world, they're intelligent. They're sharp. They have a very powerful mind. And I feel like a simpleton, talking to them. But God teaches grace to the simple. He teaches his salvation to fishermen. And he teaches it to the average Joe. And he shows them the most wonderful, complex thing in the world, the salvation of God, Jesus Christ, that you can't come to by the power of your mind. It's a spiritual understanding. It's an enlightenment of God. He opens your understanding and He teaches your mind. He puts it in your soul and you understand it. And you know it. How is it that you knew it? The day that God saved you when you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, how did you know it? How did you come to that by the power? All of a sudden, one day you figured it out. You heard it all your life and all of a sudden, I get it. No. It was like, wow. How is it that I just haven't heard it like that? How couldn't I not have understood it like that? How is it that now I see it and know it and understand and believe it without a shadow of doubt? Because God made you alive. He quickened you. He taught it to you. And He taught you. And it wasn't a capacity of your mind. It was a working of God in your soul that you came to the understanding of His salvation in Jesus. But He didn't come to that by any capacity of His own mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look there a minute. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And a lot of times we use this verse in thinking about heavenly things. But this is talking about present things in Jesus and the things He's taught us now in Christ. You can't come to that outside of Jesus. You can't come to that knowledge except He shows you that. And that's what He's talking about right now in salvation. He's taught you things that you could have never imagined in the power of your own understanding. It says, in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And then down there in verse 14, it says, but the natural man, so the spiritual man, God has revealed all these things. But verse 14, but the natural man, that is the one outside of Jesus, the lost person, the one that's still in their sin, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He can't know them. It's impossible outside of the Spirit of God to know the things of God, the deep things of God. That is a spiritual understanding that no capacity of your mind is going to bring you to. So it wasn't because Noah was smarter than everybody and he figured it out. It was a revelation of God. Noah didn't receive grace because he wanted it more than everybody else. I just want it more than everybody else, and I want it more than anything in the world. And I'm gonna try my hardest, I'm gonna put forth all my effort. And I'm gonna do my best, and I'm gonna be very sincere. It wasn't about how sincere he was. It wasn't how hard he tried. It wasn't about how bad he wanted it. It was the grace of God. It was the grace of God. But let's look at some verses concerning that. Romans 9 and verses 15. It's an understanding. Faith is an understanding. And no matter how much you might want to understand it, it isn't the wanting. No matter how much you might try and run after it, it isn't the running. It's a revelation of God to your soul. And how do you do that? How do you come to that? How do you turn that on? What capacity in you is going to bring you to that? You've got to have God reveal it to your soul. That's the grace of God. He reveals it to you in a miraculous way. And He saves you by it. But that's grace. But he didn't know. Noah might have wanted it. Everybody you ever talked to. I mean, that's why so many people can sell the Arminian idea of you just choose salvation. They can sell that because they say, do you want to go to hell? No. Do you want to go to heaven? Yes. Well, all you have to do is pray a prayer. Whether you believe it or not, all you have to do is pray a prayer. And that's how so many people have been, misguided into a false salvation. They're trusting in a prayer. They're trusting in a work. They're trusting in something that they did. The proper thing is to tell them about their sin, to point them to Jesus and say, it's only in Him that you can be saved. He's the only one that can save you. And you point them to Christ and say, this is what He did. And either you believe it or don't, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an understanding. It's not something that you muster up. It's a revelation. It's an understanding from God. But he didn't receive grace because he wanted it more than everybody else. Romans 9 again. Let's go there. And verses 15 and 16. It says, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth. Not because you want it bad enough. It's not about your wanting it or willing it or desiring it. It's not of that. So it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's not about your efforts and your tryings and your striving after it. It isn't about that. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It's about God. It's about God showing mercy. It's of God. Salvation in every way is of God. So he didn't find it because he wanted it more. He didn't find it because he put more effort into it than the next person. Noah didn't find grace by being more religious than the next person. And Romans 10. I love to use, I guess I love to use it because that's the example that God put in the Word of God. And that's what he laid on Paul's heart to put in the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. But the Jew is a perfect example of being religious. Not a one of us ever was as correct in our religion as the Jew was, under the law. And if they were counting upon the law and they were going about, in their religion to establish themselves in the law and to establish their righteousness in the law, no one has ever been as correct as the Jew was because he had the law of God. He had the commands of God. And he had the blueprint to the law of righteousness. But he found that in his flesh he was weak and he couldn't fulfill it. And yet he tried really hard. But they couldn't be saved by the law. And none of us have ever come even close to the Jew and being religious enough, and being religiously correct in the law of God. And so that's what that's an idea we need to communicate to those who are counting on church or counting on their religion or counting on something like that. There's no one that can ever be religious enough. But Romans 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. What, Israel needs to be saved? Yes, because they're counting upon their works. They're counting upon their own righteousness. Verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law. He's the completion of the law. He's the fulfillment of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And so, again, it's through Jesus Christ. He's the only one that could fulfill the law. Only Jesus could keep the law. Only he could keep it perfectly and have that righteous standing before God. And we can have that righteous standing in Him. But by being religious, we can't come to salvation. We will only find that the law reveals our weakness and our inability to come to God in that. But Noah didn't find grace by being religious. Noah didn't find grace by accident. He wasn't just stumbling along one day and tripped over grace. Whoa, what's this? Oh, it's grace. That's how some people view salvation. I got saved. God saved you. It wasn't an accident. You didn't trip over it. You didn't stumble on it. God saved you. We need to have an understanding of that. If you're saved here today, it was no accident. You didn't find that, by chance or just, there it is and oh, here it is. But God saved you on purpose, and we need to understand that. But Noah didn't find grace by accident. John chapter 6, verse 37. John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's not a maybe, that's not an if. You know, some of those that God chose, some of them will come if they want to. Some of those will come if the circumstances work out. Some of those will come, you know, if I beg and plead and, you know, drag them down in the aisle. Some of those will come and maybe. No, every single one of them is going to come. Right. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. This is an absolute. There is a number given to the Son by the Father, and every single one of them are going to come to him. And that's grace. But that's the grace of God. But Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28, down through 30. It says, and we know that all things work together for good. How do we know that? How does the Arminian know that? How does the person who is trusting in their works know that? How does the person that believes in luck or chance believe that? How do they know that? They don't. They might take this verse and kind of get a little comfort out of it, a tiny little bit of comfort. But the real comfort of this verse is knowing that God is sovereign. And that God is over all. And that God is working every detail of everything in this life. In all of creation and everything that he has made, he works out all of the details perfectly so that nothing is out of order. Everything is going according to plan. That is the only possible way that this verse can be true. And so if we know that, and we know, and that understanding starts with grace. You understand that you were saved by grace. Wow, God saved me. And he did that on purpose. And he worked out all the details of my life to bring me to Jesus. And he revealed him unto me in his perfect timing. And all the things that had to happen to bring me to that point. And you see that by grace. And then you begin to understand who God really is. The God that saved me is not a weak God. The God who saved me is not wringing his hands in heaven going, oh, I hope so, maybe they will. No, he's a God who is on the throne. He's a God who is sovereign. He is over all. And all the details of our life. That means the song we heard about, he's Lord over all. That means that the details of even the bad things and the hard things and the difficult things we can find comfort in because he is our God. And he is Lord over all. And he understands every detail of this. And this was brought into my life for a purpose and a reason. And this is going to work out to my good in Christ. You see? And you can't understand that and draw comfort from that. Not really. Except that you know who God is, and you know about grace, and you know about how that he really works, and who he really is. But for whom he did, or verse 28 there, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them, and many quote this, or many misquote this, to them who are the called. The called. That means that's all that the Father has given me ones. This is that same ones here. The called. All things work together, all things work for good. I'm going to go back and read over. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There was a calling according to the purpose of God and salvation. And it goes on to explain that in great detail in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, not just know about, but foreknowledge is about a relationship. God loved you from eternity past, and he knew you from eternity past, and he always knew that he was going to work salvation out in your life, and he knew you in that way. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And that's where we became aware of all this. We didn't know anything about this eternal plan of God until we became aware of the call of God. We felt that, we knew that, and we understood the conviction of sin. And we experienced that repentance that we heard about in the devotion. That God was working into our hearts. We realized our sinful condition. We realized our need of a Savior. And he revealed Jesus to us. That's where we came in. That's where we realized, okay, I see that God is calling me. But moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And he called us and he brought us to Jesus. And we studied about that this morning in Sunday school, how he justified us through the death of Jesus Christ. Through that shed blood, we are made innocent and declared innocent through the death of Christ. He justified us through faith in Jesus. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. Now we have a glorified standing in Jesus Christ. Jesus sits at the right hand of God, and we are positionally in him. And so everything that happens in this life, it's all going to work together for good, because that's where we're going. We're going to glory with Jesus. We're going to be glorified in Christ. And so We know that all things work together for good. We know that because we know who God is and we know how salvation works. And it's not about accidents and it's not about chance. It's not about our will. It's not about our strength to keep ourselves saved. It's about God. And He has a plan and He's working out our plan and He's going to bring us all the way to glory in Jesus. That's comfort. And we can take such comfort in those things. But that's how we know that Noah didn't find grace by accident. It was on the purpose of God. Now we want to turn to that, and these thoughts are going to overlap quite a little bit, but the second thought then is that how Noah did find grace. How he did find grace. Well, our text tells us that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the eyes of the Lord. And so grace is not found, grace was not found in Noah. There was nothing in Noah to obligate God, or there was no merit in Noah to bring upon the grace of God to himself. There was no reason for grace in Noah. But the grace of God was in God. It was of God. It was from God. It was in God's eyes. God chose to look upon Noah with eyes of grace. He chose to look upon Noah in the purpose and the plan of his salvation. He looked upon Noah with grace. And so the grace that Noah found was in the eyes of the Lord. The grace that Noah found was in God and of God. God is, grace is found because of God and in spite of man. It was in spite of Noah that he found grace. It was in spite of him. Noah should have been drowned in the flood with everybody else. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It was grace that saved Noah. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's go there for a minute. 1 Corinthians 1 and verses 26 down through 31. And here again, this is another thing that you'll never get except that you understand grace. You'll never get, you won't get the calling. You won't understand that. You'll think, well, God did so much and then I did this. No, you don't understand it. You don't understand the calling. You don't understand grace. You don't understand what it's about if that's how you feel about it. But verse 26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him." It's all of him. It's because of him. It's through him. It's by him. He is the. It is every part of grace came from God. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. So if you're saved today, it's because of God that you're in Christ Jesus. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Not a one of us here have anything to glory about except for Jesus Christ. We glory in him. We glory in God's salvation that he brought us to that relationship in Christ. And so we find that it is all because of God, and it is in spite of man. But we see that Noah found grace because of God's eternal love. Jeremiah 31:3. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Another one of those wonderful scriptures. When did God hold the election to choose these to salvation? He never did. You have always been chosen in God. As long as God has been from eternity past, what our mind can't fathom, you have always been on the mind of God. You have always been included in the plan of redemption in the mind of God from eternity past. How do we know that? Because God never changes. He never learns anything. He never comes to a new understanding, a new plan. He has always understood and always known what he was going to do. And so you have always been included in that plan. From eternity past, there was never a day that God said, "Aha, I'm gonna have this one and this one." No, you've always been in the mind of God. That is just an amazing idea. But God has always loved His people. There's never been a time when you were not on the mind of God. That is just one of those thoughts that'll just overwhelm you when you think about it. When you were in rebellion and sin, and when you were hateful toward God, and you were running in the world, and you were against God with everything you had, His eternal love was on you, and His eyes of grace were beholding you, and His plan always was to draw you out of that darkness, to draw you out of that sin, and bring you to Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing when you think about that. But Jeremiah 31, verse 3. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love that didn't ever begin. It's been as long as me, as long as I have been, which is forever. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, you see, the grace that comes to us in salvation, that purpose and plan of salvation was because of an everlasting love, an everlasting purpose of God toward you. He always knew you and he always loved you. And therefore, he always planned to save you. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That drawing that we experienced in salvation was because of an everlasting love that God had toward us. He loved us from eternity past. Therefore, he draws us to himself with that loving kindness. And so, it was because of God's eternal love that Noah found salvation. It was because of God's purpose of salvation. We read there in Romans 8. It was a purpose. It was a plan. God has a purpose in Christ for his people. It was because of God's will. It was God's desire to save. It was like it is not about our will. It is about God's will. But Ephesians 1. You see, there's another one of those things that the lost person's not going to like. You know, they're not going to like the fact that, well, it's not about what I choose. It's about what God chooses. Well, that's the way it is. He's God. He's God. And it's his will that he works out these things. But Ephesians 1 and verse 5. It says, having predestinated us unto the... Wait a minute, I didn't choose to be predestinated, or I didn't choose that. That wasn't my... That was God's plan. Where was my say in all this? You know, people don't like that. Well, that's the way it is. This is God. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He wanted to. God chose to, and he wanted to. And he worked out this plan of salvation. It was all of God's will. It's of God's power. That's another wonderful thing about understanding grace is that we know we can't lose our salvation. I didn't do anything to earn it. So there's nothing I can do to lose it. How can I lose salvation? I can't lose something that I didn't deserve. I can't lose something that, you know, that was given to me as a free gift of God. I can't lose that because it was all of God. So how can I lose it? I can't lose it. He keeps me. He promises to keep me, and it's by grace that he keeps me. But we never can lose something that God has bestowed upon us by grace. But there in Ephesians 1, verse 11 there, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He's the one that is working it all together. He's the one that is making it work. It's by his will and his design and his power that he works it all out. He works out the details. It's something we could never do. God can do because he knows all and he is able to do anything. And so he can work that out. So he's the one that keeps us saved and he works out that salvation. And so it's because of God's power and work. And it's because of God's election. We read about there in Romans 9, but we'll read here in verse Ephesians. If you want to define election, if you want to define what does that mean? What is grace? What is election? What does this mean? Well, Ephesians 1 is a definition. It defines it. It lays it out there. Ephesians 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen, that's what it means, that's what election means, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that, not because of, you see, not because Noah was good, not because Noah was blameless, but that he should be, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Before that, outside of Jesus Christ, outside of grace, we could not be holy and without blame. But because he desired us to be, he chose us that we should be. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's grace. That's grace. God did everything. It was God's plan, God's desire, God's design. It was God's power that drew us and called us and brought us to this and worked it all out. And it's to the praise of the glory of his grace. It's to the credit of God. We honor God, we praise God, we worship God, and we thank God because he did it. He did it when we had no strength to do it. He did it when we had no desire to do it. You know, the people that are all bent out of shape about this, they had no desire to come to God according to God's word and God's way, according to what the word of God says. There's none that seeketh after God. Not in our own strength, not in your own flesh. You might be seeking some God. You might be seeking some way of salvation. You might be seeking something. You might be seeking a way to heaven, a way out of hell, but you're not seeking the true God of Scripture. The only way that anyone seeks the true God of Scripture is a revelation from God Himself. He reveals Himself to you, and you say, I see Him, and I know that I need Him, and I desire Him with everything that I have. And He draws you to Himself through a revelation of Himself. So in short, God found a standing in God's grace, in God's eyes, because God wanted Him to. God wanted him to find grace, and so he revealed to Noah grace. But in conclusion to these things, by definition, grace is the unmerited favor of God. There was nothing in Noah that obligated God to save him. And we need to be careful. Don't get that idea in your head that Noah was somebody, but he's a little better guy than the rest of them. So that's why, no, it was grace. And God was not obligated to save him. It was the unmerited favor of God that God looked upon Noah with. Noah could not have found it if God had not wanted him to. Noah was a sinner worthy of death, like all the rest who perished in the flood. But for no reason other than God's grace, Noah was loved, he was chosen, and he was saved by God. And so the answer to how did Noah find grace, God gave it to him freely, without obligation, merit, or works on Noah's part. The most important thing to understand about the Scripture is that it's not about Noah's works, but it's rather about God's grace. So many people, how do they get off on this? It's about God's grace, and we're to understand that salvation is always of the grace of God. And right there in Ephesians 2, and verses 8 through 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But it's all of God. And that's what grace is all about. That's a true understanding of grace. It's every bit of God. There isn't anything in man that deserves it. There's nothing in man that that obligates God in any way to save us. That is completely unscriptural. Grace is absolutely free. It is absolutely of the will and the power of God and the purpose of God in Christ. God is the one who purposes our salvation in Christ. That's grace, and it's all of God. But that's how Noah found grace. But I'm going to stop with that and have Brother Jim come and lead us in a song, and we'll be dismissed.